in the 1993 film Groundhog Day. Some of you may be familiar with it. Bill Murray portrays a cynical weatherman named Phil Connors, who's covering the annual Groundhog Day event in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, and he becomes trapped in a time loop that forces him to repeat February 2nd over and over. Every morning he wakes up to Sonny and Cher's I Got You Babe playing on the clock radio, and then experiences the previous day's events over, repeated exactly. At first, he uses these loops to his advantage, binge drinking, having one-night stands, and driving recklessly while drunk. But after a while, he starts to get depressed and ends up committing suicide in a variety of ways. But the fact is that after he dies, he simply wakes up listening to Sonny and Cher again in the same bed on the same day over and over again. So Phil decides to confide in his new producer, Rita, who encourages him to see the loops as a blessing instead of a curse. And he eventually commits himself to improving his life and the life of the townspeople there. By the end of the film, he has fallen in love with Rita. The time loop is broken. It's now February 3rd. He's a different man, and he and Rita walk out into the snowy town to begin a better life together. Now, though our monotony may not be as extreme as what Phil Connors experienced, life during the coronavirus pandemic can start to feel like a time loop in lots of ways. I think back to what Lyle mentioned and asked me when we were talking a little bit earlier, what's new? And I said, well, sort of the same thing day after day as we're all experiencing right now. Waking up in the same place, going about the same indoor activities, staring at the same computer screen, sticking to the same schedule of meals, following the same news and weather forecasts, going to bed at the same time, then waking up the next day and starting the cycle all over again. It's no wonder that many people have sought ways to try to break free from what's sometimes called COVID monotony. Finding ways maybe to get outside if the weather's good enough, taking up a new hobby, beginning an exercise program, getting creative with cooking, discovering new ways to interact with your children or your grandchildren. Whatever will make today seem at least a little bit different than yesterday was, or maybe tomorrow will be. But we need to keep in mind, too, that sometimes repetition can be a good thing and a positive kind of thing, a beneficial thing. Monotony can have its benefits. Henry David Thoreau once wrote, "Routine is a ground to stand on, a wall to retreat to. We cannot draw on our boots without bracing ourselves against it." So there is a certain kind of stability that comes with repetition. In order to move forward, we often have to return to the things we've known before, or to things we've been to before, things that are familiar to us. We need to keep circling back and gathering up things that will help us somehow move forward in our faith. In today's text, the psalmist uses repetition, and uses repetition as a way of expressing confidence in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Notice that verses 1 and 5 are very similar. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation or hope comes from Him. And then verses 2 and 6 are almost identical. He alone is my rock and salvation. He is my fortress. I will never or not be shaken. So together, these verses form a refrain, similar to the chorus of a song. The refrain, or chorus, is what we return to over and over in order to state again or confess again a basic affirmation or belief, in this case, confidence in God. Go back to the movie I was speaking about earlier. In Groundhog Day, Phil Connors woke up every day to Sonny and Cher, I Got You Babe. But on the Lord's Day, I think we always tune into the psalmist whose words, whose chorus is, My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. That's one feature of this psalm that we can pay attention to. There's another feature in this psalm that we need to notice too. The Hebrew word translated as alone or only. It occurs 6 times in this psalm. In fact, it occurs 24 times in the whole book of Psalms, which means that 25% of the times that it's used are in this scripture passage we've got before us here today. So the psalmist is repeating the same words, using the same terminology to reinforce the fact that we have one God and only one God. The Lord alone is our hope and our salvation. And this is something that we come back to over and over. It's our refrain in a way. It's our chorus. It's the time loop in a way that we as believers live in and live by. The Lord alone is our hope and our salvation. And we live in this time loop in a unique way every day, but in a special way too on Sunday, this day, the Lord's Day. Today is when we assemble to do things, right? Things that we've done many, many times before here in this place of worship, to sing, to pray, to preach, to give, Sunday after Sunday, week after week, again and again. Congregational worship is about repetition, not as a burden, but as a blessing. Now, it's true, repetition can get off track and become just empty, vain repetition that's hollow. That can happen. That can get dangerous. But the fact remains, we need... There's a little twist in the routine, whatever that was. We need this routine. We need this rhythm that comes with it on Sunday morning. It gives structure to our lives. It gives stability to our lives. It gives shape to our spiritual lives. Indeed, God uses the patterns and the practices and the repetition that happens in worship to work on us, to form us, to make us more into what He intends us to be in Christ, in the likeness of Christ. James K.A. Smith wrote a book called You Are What You Love. And he talks about the way that our hearts get formed. He says, there is no formation without repetition. Virtue formation takes practice. And there's no kind of practice, you know this well, there's no kind of practice that isn't repetitive. You have to do it over and over. He points out how we willingly embrace repetition as a good kind of thing in all sorts of other parts of our life. Practicing golf swing to get it right, piano practicing, mathematical abilities. All these kinds of examples show us, he says, that we are creatures of habit. You learn and cultivate and develop by repeating it and practicing it and doing it over and over again. The Lord has created us as creatures of habit. So why should we think that repetition is inimical to our spiritual growth? Sometimes we slip into thinking that worship is primarily something that we do for God. And there's some truth in that. When we gather together here as God's people, or when you're worshiping individually, engaging in personal praise and thanks, we're engaging in worship action. We're doing things to praise God and to offer ourselves to the Lord. But remember that most of all, God is the one doing the working and the acting and the moving, working on us, and often working on us as His people through the things that we do over and over and over again. That's how it often happens in acts of worship. And that doesn't mean that we should just set aside creativity or reject novelty or resist change. After all, we're told of God's new creation in Christ. We're being transformed into the people that God intends us to be, which requires that we have to stay open to newness, to change, to innovation. But that newness that God wants to do in us, God often does it and works it into us through the things that we do over and over and over again, familiar things, routine things. Actor Jeff Bridges once did an interview with Rolling Stone, and he was basically asked about, what advice did you receive when you were 20 years old, or what advice did you wish you had received when you were 20 years old? And Bridges said, I got the advice, I just didn't take it. My dad would say, it's all about habit, Jeff. You gotta get into good habits. And I said, no, Dad, you gotta live each moment. Live it as the first one and be fresh. And he says, that's a wonderful thought, but that's not what we are. We are habitual creatures. It's about developing these grooves. And Bridges said, as I age, I can see his point. What you practice, that's what you become. So grooves matter. We need them. They're critical in determining who you are and what you become. Without repetition, without these practices that form our hearts and form us as God's people into what he wants us to be, we can start relying on things other than the promises of God. If we don't do what's familiar and practice what God has given to us, we can start to rely on things other than the promises of God. We can start to put our confidence in things that can't really deliver, no matter what they promise. Remember the psalmist's refrain. Remember what he and we come back to over and over. My soul finds rest in God alone. My hope, salvation, comes from him. That's the refrain. And I think that's certainly worth repeating at all times, especially in circumstances like we face presently. As I mentioned earlier, the coronavirus, it seems like in lots of ways, it has our lives in a loop that wears on us, that wears on our endurance. Our faith gets challenged by the daily repetition of mask wearing and social distancing and sickness and death and financial distress and isolation and uncertainty about when it will all end, and we find ourselves in the same position that we hear the psalmist asking in today's text, how long? How long? Or maybe like the psalmist in today's text where he speaks about, you know, I feel like a leaning wall, a tottering fence. What's it going to take that finally topples me over? Those are the kinds of circumstances where you and I don't have to come up with something that's completely novel or absolutely fresh. We don't have to embark on some great spiritual experiment into uncharted territory. We simply need to go back to where we've been many times before. We need to return to what we've heard before, what we've professed before, what we've confessed before, what we've preached before, namely that the Lord is my rock, my refuge, my fortress. He alone is my salvation. That's the groove that we need to live in daily and weekly and every Sunday. He alone is my salvation. This is the groove in which we get ourselves and live, no matter what's happening to us or what's happening around us. In the practice of the presence of God, Brother Lawrence wrote, we cannot avoid the dangers and the reefs of which this life is full without the real and constant help of God. Let us ask him for it without ceasing. But how can we ask him without being with him? And how can we be with him without often thinking of him? And how can we often think of him without forming a holy habit of doing so? A holy habit. The life of faith, brothers and sisters, is a life of cultivating holy habits, good habits. Some of those habits, I think, come to the fore even more during this time of the year, as many followers of Jesus devote themselves to focusing on the spiritual disciplines of Lent, personal and corporate worship, fasting, prayer, giving. These kinds of things attract increased attention this time of the year. And in addition to these traditional kinds of spiritual practices, there are holy habits in an even broader sense, like loving, sacrificing, peacemaking, encouraging, listening to one another. These are the patterns and the rhythms of discipleship. They're the routines, and I mean routines in a positive sense, that we need to get into in order to express our trust in the Lord. When a lot of the settlement of the American West was going on, roads were often just wagon tracks, which could be troublesome, trails that posed all sorts of problems for those who traveled on them. And alongside one of those trails, one of those paths, a sign was posted that read, "Avoid this rut, or you'll be in it for the next 25 miles. Now, granted, a rut can be a bad thing, but sometimes we need ruts, don't we? We need ruts in the good sense because they help us stay the course and reach a destination that we believe is somewhere out there, but it hasn't come fully into view yet, but it helps us stay the course. The right kind of spiritual rut, the right kind of routine, can get you through times of hardship and suffering. The good kind of rut can sustain you when you feel like giving up on the sovereignty of God and the love of God. The good kind of rut, the positive kind of rut, it can help you from veering off course and getting onto some path that looks like it may get you ahead, but in reality is just a road that leads to destruction. Staying in the right rut can keep you off those kinds of pathways that lead you in the wrong direction. So we come back to the right rut again. In the end, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. There's a writer named Ann Kerhulus who says, "We are left staring down the winter months of dogged monotony at home. But perhaps these unyielding months of the pandemic have revealed something that we have not wanted to address. Our lives are always full of monotony and repetition, and they always will be. Trying to evade a life marked by repetition is misguided. Repetition is a fundamental reality of being human, and the pandemic has only heightened our awareness of it." She says, "We are creatures of again. We're made for again." So why does repetition, she asks, feel like a curse instead of a blessing? So here we are again on another Lord's Day, and I think it's a good opportunity for us to give thanks for the blessing of repetition and routine, to give thanks for the ordinary routine types of daily spiritual practices that reinforce our faith and help us hold up against adversity, the kinds of things that sustain us in our faith. So let's keep on doing over and over and over again those things that enable us to reflect and to express and to profess that our confidence is in the Lord. He alone is our salvation. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for the blessing of repetition, the gift of ordinary daily routines, the kinds of things that can help us stay in the right rut toward your purposes for us in Christ. continue to breathe fresh life through Christ into us daily and give us the newness that we need, but help us also to appreciate and practice those daily spiritual disciplines and holy habits that reinforce our faith, that enable us to express our faith and declare our confidence in you, so that others may join us, placing their hope in you and you alone. We just pray these things now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.